Now, every so often, there comes along a writer with an idea which is so snappily expressed and so accurately descriptive of the world around us that we all start using it in conversation. It becomes part of the language. Well, get ready for what claims to be the latest, the long tail. And long tail culture is a term coined by Chris Anderson. He is the editor of the very influential technology magazine, Wired, and the idea refers to a trend in culture which he claims is happening right now and is going to spell big trouble for the big cultural blockbuster. I spoke to Chris Anderson on the line from the BBC studio in New York and asked him to explain himself. What is long-tail culture?
Well, broader, the big picture is this is a book about life after the blockbuster. It's what happens to our culture and our economy as we shift from mass markets to millions of niches. And the long tail specifically refers to the long tail of the demand curve. A small number of products sell a lot, and a large number sell a little each. And typically, in retail and most markets, you only have room for a limited number of things. And so obviously, you just stock the hits. But increasingly in markets, most of them online, we have infinite shelf space. We can stock everything.
The reason I find this very interesting is that what I tend to buy on the internet is things that I couldn't find anywhere else, things that are really only of interest to me. No one else is going to want a book on 18th century French church architecture, okay? But I can find it. That is absolutely as long tail as you could go. But what I'm interested in is what's going to happen to the blockbuster. But there's all of us, everyone who's listening to this, are responsible for the blockbuster. We create that phenomenon. So what's going to happen to the big Hollywood movie, the everyone has to read it book? What's the future of the blockbuster?
That's a great question, and you know, I live in both worlds. And by day, I'm the editor of a mainstream American magazine called Wired, and work for Condé Nast, biggest magazine publisher. And by night, I'm a blogger, and I write a book about niches. Well, I think what you're going to find is that there's two kinds of hits. There's two kinds of blockbusters. There's the ones that are created by the blockbustering machinery, and that would be you and me. And then there's those who spontaneously arise from below. And you know, in the past, we've only had room for the first. The only way to get a movie into theaters is via the studios. The only way to get an album into the stores was via the major labels. Now we're seeing the rise of the grassroots hits, the ones that are kind of burbling up from MySpace online or YouTube, a video site, the blogs that become as popular as major newspapers. And these grassroots organic hits are the new fast-rising hits. They win. Some of the traditional top-down, heavily marketed hits, I think we'll lose because it's so easy for people to discern whether they really are good or just marketed very well.
What was it that put you onto the long tail?
It was talking to a company that had a digital jukebox. This is like a jukebox that had a broadband connection and a hard drive. And rather than holding 100 albums or 100 singles, it would have 10,000, 20,000, 30,000. And they asked me what percentage of that of the top 10,000 I think sold at least once a month. I thought it was 20%, but in fact it was 98%. Virtually everything they put out there found some demand. Now, they didn't necessarily sell a lot more than once a month, but everything sold. And I realized that when you could offer everything, there was more demand for those low sellers because there are so many of them. And if you add up all those onesies and twosies, you get a market that rivals the hits.
So the non-hits, in a sense, add up to more than the hits.
Exactly. And when the cost of offering them is essentially zero, and that is the case with digital products, it's just an entry in a database, it costs you nothing to have them, quote-unquote, on the shelf. Mm. And so you can have 2 million tracks, as you now have on iTunes, or 10 million tracks. There's probably 60 million songs out there, and yet the average store would only have about 50,000. So the iceberg under the water of culture, all that content that's been out there but hasn't made sense in traditional retail channels is now available to us.
And give me another example, a kind of a current one that you've now spotted as you're observing this new landscape with your new metaphor of the long tail.
Sure. Well, the metaphor started in the entertainment industry with DVDs and music and books, and that's where the data was most obvious. But as I've done more work on it, I found long tails everywhere. You can think of the long tail of television. So television is a broadcast model, and you tend to focus on places where the audience is the largest. But think of the global market for cricket outside of the traditional cricket markets, the cricket diaspora, if you will. Here in the United States, it's very hard to see cricket on TV. But if you think of this video being distributed over the Internet, all those distributed cricket fans who aren't well served by their local television broadcaster can watch cricket.
Aha, I see. And that tops up into an aggregated, big and important market.
Exactly. It's the long tail cricket demands. And you can think of this in any other product. Recently, Anheuser-Busch, America's largest beer distributor, created a division called Long Tail Libations. What's the long tail of beer? It's is in microbrews. Here in the U.S., we've been dominated by the Pabst Blue Ribbons and the Budweisers. Now, again, just because of technology making supply chains more efficient, you can have 40 or 400 beers on the space where you used to have just four. And there is demand for regional beer, for craft beer, for microbrews.
Chris Anderson of Wired magazine. Well, I like any theory supported by beer and cricket.